This is As the Earth Turns, part of an archive broadcast, The Nature of Things, originally aired on August 5th, 1992.
There are some things that never change, at least that's the way it seems. On the surface, the sleepy little villages which lace the Ontario Lake Plain are as staid as any in the world. But that staidness is all on the surface. A closer, deeper look reveals that these villages are neither sleepy nor unchanging. The entrepreneurial spirit is alive there. Take my hometown of Albion, New York, for instance. Once Albion was a lovely little hamlet, occupied by a combination of farmers, commuters who worked in Rochester, Lockport, and Batavia, and by the varied tradesmen and professionals required to serve the needs of what was then a canning factory town. Food processing was the heart of its surprisingly complex socioeconomic machinery. The village resonated to the cycles of planting, tending, and harvest. In spring, almost everyone was in the fields preparing the land and planting or spraying and mowing in the orchards. By July, huge wagon loads of peas on the vine inched their way along Main Street or the avenue headed for the vinery. By late summer, tomatoes were ripening, and now the wagons and the old square-rigged trucks were piled high with hampers of scarlet tomatoes, lining the streets by Sweets or Snyder canning factories. Recollection tells me that Snyder was famous for its ketchup and Sweets for chili sauce. Historians might want to correct that, but even they might agree that the atmosphere is recalled by the thought. To the extent that I was paying attention at all to this, I imbibed that atmosphere, the aroma of cooking tomatoes and spices, the bizarre contrast of horse-drawn wagons artfully piled high with tomato hampers silhouetted against the stately dwellings that then lined the intersection of Main Street and the avenue. Travelers remarked then at the beauty of the village, finding the canning factories themselves to be the unattractive elements in the scenery. As a youth, growing up in the neighborhood, I enjoyed access to those fabled dwellings, cookies and milk in Helen Burroughs' kitchen, the same on the same day from Annie Cole, the Cole's maid. Hours of baseball or football with the McNall boys, entry to the global perspective through National Geographic and Nature magazine at the Bergersons, story hour at the Sprague's. That neighborhood was an intellectual and spiritual supermarket, and a curious and respectful child could have access to it all. I circulated the neighborhood freely, absorbing the full spectrum of its curriculum. Now the stately mansions had disappeared, and the street corner, while it will supply food and fuel and medicine necessities for day-to-day life, the neighborhood is gone. The youth who would grow up there today would find a mighty shallow curriculum for his non-school learning. Albion still has its beauty and its aura of good living, but very little of it is concentrated where the transient will see it. I've heard it called an ugly little hamlet with no character. My response, of course, is that Albion is more than a hamlet with much latent beauty, but I can't help wondering about the decision to concentrate the ordinary or the lovely once dwelled. I calculate that since I left my old Main Street neighborhood for good, the earth has made some 15,000 rotations. It's a habit the earth has, a renewing habit. During that time, there have been 50 seasonal cycles, replete with many hot, dry summers and cold, snowy winters, or with cold, rainy summers and warm, snowless winters. No two seasons quite the same. People and their institutions change, too, and the accumulation of some 15,000 opportunities to do things differently is far too much for some of us. At the same time, it doesn't escape me that another Albionite writing of the past 5 or 6 decades would see it differently. He or she would concentrate on what Albion has become and would hardly lament the passing of what it has been. How do you find some accommodation for these differing opinions? First, we have to recognize in the cycling seasons a natural devotion to those things which give the earth sustenance. One year it may be too hot and dry and another too cold and rainy, but the earth adjusts and continues to enrich itself. In a sense, the global world has an innate recollection of its past and what represents a steady state. Gaia, the goddess of the earth, provides a global governor that maintains the historic perspective. With us, 50 years of change, what we call progress, can produce mountains of problems, solid waste, which if we didn't expect and don't quite know what to do with. Progress isn't always what it seems to be. Trading rich diversity for ugly sameness may not actually be progress at all. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.